It occurred to me that we are just about a month past Easter. And the disciples had been with the Lord those 4 weeks. And I wondered, what was that time like? What were those days? What did they bring? Now, we know the scripture says he spoke to them concerning the kingdom of God, and that's prompted their question, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom? You know, and they're thinking totally natural. But the Lord was bringing spiritual principles to their attention during that time, and they probably didn't know there was only 10 days left. And the Lord would ascend on high. But oh my goodness, what incredible days. Because now, the joy of the resurrection has become, can I say it, more real because of the death they saw. They knew he died. It wasn't a swoon. It wasn't a drug-induced coma. It wasn't any of those things. He was dead. But now here he is before them alive. Oh my. What an incredible thing. And then in Matthew 28, he gives the instructions to them for their mission. We call it the commission. But notice now, Matthew 28, 16, the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them or told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. That always intrigues me. How can you doubt? He's there, walking, talking, living, breathing. But that's our flesh. Verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now that was foreign to their thinking. All nations that included Jews, okay. All nations that had a heritage from the Hebrews, yeah. But all nations? Baptizing them in the name, everybody say the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe or obey all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Praise God. Oh, my goodness, there's so much to preach from that passage. Amen. But I just thought it intriguing that he said, now I want you to go to all nations. And they're thinking, well, they're not even thinking of, you know, nations that didn't have Hebrew heritage, didn't have a legacy of the law. But that's what the Lord meant. Amen. Lord bless you. You may be seated. Now, his appearances after the resurrection, you know, to the women in the garden at the grave, to his disciples, and now for 40 days, and about 30 of them have gone by, perhaps at this time, just like we've celebrated Easter last month, and here we are almost a month later. For 40 days, he showed himself alive. Many infallible proofs, and I'm thankful that's how God operates. There's no need to doubt. There's no need to wonder. Amen. It's infallible. And he was speaking about the kingdom of God. Now, Paul gave a list in 1 Corinthians 15. He talks about those who saw the resurrected Lord, Peter, saw him, the 12 disciples. 500. And then James and the apostles. And then he said, last of all, me. And no doubt he's referring to that powerful conversion that he had on the Damascus Road. So 500, that's a pretty hefty segment of population that could testify, yes, he's alive. We saw him. We talked to him. We heard him. Praise God. And amazing that there was worship, but yet there was doubt. What kind of combination is that? I guess it's a human combination, is what we can say. We worship, but yet we're wondering, I don't know how this is going to turn out. I don't know if you know how the Lord can work with this. And we struggle in those aspects. But worship needs to eliminate doubt. Amen. Eliminate it, because we know how great our God is. The disciples were directed to a mountain, and there they were to worship him. Peter, James, and John were there, along with the other disciples. I wonder if they remembered another mountain where the Lord showed himself bright and shining, the glory of God, and Moses and Elijah appear along with him, and the powerful demonstration of the Lord, the voice that they heard from heaven, the glory that was revealed. Praise God. Now they could understand a little bit more about his power. Amen. It's worth it to make the effort to get up the mountain to worship. It's worth it to climb that bit and leave the doubts behind and move into the realm of his presence, where we know his power to be so great and to do the work that he desires to do in our lives. Amen. Thank God that we can know his power and his blessing and continue to praise him and lift him up. Amen. But this idea of doubt again just intrigues me. How can you doubt after seeing the resurrected Lord? How can there be this aspect? Well, the Lord dealt with doubt, and he still knows how to deal with it. He still knows how to help us through that situation. Mark 16 and 14, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating, and he rebuked them. I'm reading from the NIV. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. I wonder what that sounded like. He's standing right in front of them and telling him. The two on the road to Emmaus, they're walking along, and Jerusalem is fading in the background, and they're heading to Emmaus, and they're discussing back and forth what had gone on in Jerusalem. Then somebody else appears and asks them, what are you talking about, and why are you so sad? They turned to that individual and said, are you a stranger in Jerusalem? And don't you know what the things that have happened? And he inquired, what things? And so they began to tell about Jesus. And it was Jesus walking with them. Praise God. They didn't know. How often does that happen? When we're discussing things and we're wondering, you know, and perhaps even wishing that things had turned out differently and all of that sort of thing. But the Lord is right there with you. Amen. And then he said to them, oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe. They realized who he is. Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Amen. And the two go to the 11. They make that round trip, you know, about 7.5 miles to go to Emmaus. And they invited the Lord to stay with them. And he broke bread. He gave thanks. Ah, they realized who he is. And they rejoiced in his presence. And then he's gone. And they make the 7.5 mile trip back. And it doesn't matter if it's dark. They said, it's toward evening. Stay with us. So it was already getting dark, but it didn't matter to them. Man, they made haste back to Jerusalem, 15-mile round trip, and here they go. so excited, and they appear to the 11. And while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your minds?" Again, they just, I guess we'd have to be there. You'd have to be there. Oh, my goodness. What excitement that would have been there. Maybe it was a roller coaster ride. Maybe they were thrilled and excited and astonished, and then doubts and fears, because the threat against them was very real as well. But now, God's power being manifest here. So he goes on and says, "Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." Amen. He's trying to convince them, trying to help them to understand. And Thomas, we know, was the one who heard the report, but he wanted his own opportunity to touch the Lord and talk to him. And the Lord accommodated him. Praise God. "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believing." Praise God. Now, he led them up to that point of don't doubt. The resurrection's real. I'm here. I'm alive. Because he wanted them to grab a hold of the message that was coming. He didn't want it to be something that when he said, "Go to all nations, help them obey, teach them what I've said, baptize them in my name." He didn't want them to doubt. He wanted that eliminated. He wanted that to be taken care of. Praise God. And preach the gospel without doubt, because it will change people. It will do a work. Amen. And the power of the Lord will be displayed, because all the world needs to hear it. All nations are included. No one needs to be left out. Now, you can't teach what you haven't learned. That's why I'm confident you can share the scripture. I'm confident you can teach Bible study, because you know the word. Amen. And you can read what's on the page, and you can read from what scripture says, and let people know about the things of God. Amen. You can't give what you haven't received. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." Praise God. And you have that same thing, the power of the Lord and the work that you're able to accomplish in his name. Praise God. "Go ye therefore and teach," he said. Teaching them, he emphasized that. Teaching them to observe or obey all things I have commanded, baptizing them in the name. Thank God we know exactly what the apostles did. We know exactly how they fulfilled it. Amen. Over and over they obeyed the command of the Lord to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, because that name is Jesus. Praise God. And the disciples were thrilled with the power of that name. They came back in Luke 10 and said, "Lord, even the devils are subject to us in your name." They knew the power of that name. Oh, yes, they did. Thank God. And Peter declared it in Acts 4 and 12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Praise God. And Jesus said, "It'll begin at Jerusalem. Repentance and remission of sins preached in his name." And that's exactly what Peter did. Amen. And thank God it continued on obeying the command of Jesus about his name. Peter, on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 and 38, you're familiar with it. Philip in Samaria, Acts 8 and 16. Peter at Cornelius' house, Acts 10 and 48. Paul with the Ephesians, Acts 19 and 5, Paul's testimony about his baptism, Acts 22 and 16, all had the power of the name. Amen. And they had the power of the name at baptism, and they had the power of the name of Jesus at all times. That's what's beautiful about it. That's what's fantastic about that image that you saw of Brother Farmer in Guyana. Praise God, the power of the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. The power of that name. Amen. Now, let's go back to Acts 10. Because Cornelius was a man who would be welcome in just about every church today. They'd vote him as a member. My goodness, he's seen an angel. He prays. He gives alms. He's a good man. But the angel told him to send for Peter. And he'll come and tell you words whereby you and all your house can be saved. Praise God. Well, the Lord was dealing with Cornelius over here in Caesarea. The Lord was dealing with Peter over here in Joppa. And Peter was being told and reaffirmed, it's all nations, Peter. It's everybody. It's not just the Jews. It's not just the chosen people of God. It's all nations. Amen. That whole process of the visions and the Lord speaking to him. And then notice how the Spirit alerts him. There are three men knocking and seeking. Go with them. And what were the instructions? Doubting nothing. Still having that problem. Still having that situation to get worked out within them. Go with them, doubting nothing. And so Peter grabbed six guys to go with him. Come on, you'll be my support. Or you'll take the blame or the glory, whichever it's going to be. And we go into this Gentile's house. Go with them, doubting nothing. Praise God. And so he arrived. He got the background of Cornelius and what had happened to him and the angel that had visited and the message that was given. And Peter started to preach. Every nation, in verse 35, every nation, I'll hurry through it. Verse 43, through his name you can receive forgiveness of sins. Verse 44, the Holy Ghost fell. Amen. Verse 48, the name of Jesus was commanded in terms of baptism. Thank God for the power of the Lord that can be displayed when people obey what God says in his word, doubting nothing. Amen. The Lord and his power can do that work. An amazing growth of numbers of believers in the book of Acts. How incredible, because of the outreach to all nations by the apostles. Now, John, one of those apostles, saw evidence of what God was going to do in Revelation 7, 9. A great multitude that no one could count. And the NIV says, from every nation, tribe, people, and language. And what were they doing? Worshiping. Worshiping, this time with no doubt. No doubt, because there's no devil. Oh, what's it going to be like to worship in that heavenly realm? What's it going to be like with no aches and pains, no fatigue and exhaustion, no hindrances or debilitation, nothing like that to hold you back. But you can lift up the name of Jesus as long as you want. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise him for a million years. Amen. And then go do something else and praise him again for another million years. Oh, hallelujah. No doubt, because there's no devil. Amen. And they were saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Hallelujah. Thank God for the praise that we can lift up in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. And John wrote the invitation as he heard the Spirit and the bride say, let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. John wrote something similar to that when Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Oh, praise God. I'm thankful that's going to go on for eternity. Amen. Amen. What a gathering. We sing that old song out of the songbook sometimes. What a gathering. Amen. What a gathering of the faithful that would be. More than any sporting event, more than any political rally, more than any gathering, praise God, what a gathering of the people of God being caught away, the dead in Christ rising first, and we which are alive and remain caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And oh, I want to be there. Amen. I want to be there. Praise God. And let the Lord be the one that we give praise to and exalt. Now the Lord said, no, talking about this all nations aspect, Mark 11:17. He taught, saying unto them, is it not written? I like the way he refers to scripture over and over. That's what he did after his resurrection. He taught them from the law and the prophets and from Moses. He made sure they understand this is scripture. This is fulfillment of the word of God. This is what the Lord prophesied. This is what he promised. Amen. So now he's teaching. It's written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer. Praise God. You've made it a den of thieves. We've got to be careful what we make it. Careful what we make the house of God. Is it drudgery? Is it boredom? Is it, you know, just I've got to make it because of duty? Is it dead? No, I've got to make sure it's encouraging. It's life changing. It's power sustaining. It's a powerful experience in the Lord, and we know how good and how great he is to minister in all of this, because there's abundance. That's why the Lord said all nations. He wasn't going to just dribble it out a little at a time and only a few are able to obtain it. He was going to let everyone experience it. Thank God you and I have experienced it. We are included in the abundance. I'm glad that God didn't exclude me. I'm glad the Lord didn't say, oh, you're not from a big city. Oh, you're not from the majority. Oh, you're not from the right race and so on. I'm thankful he included me. I'm thankful he included you. The abundance, praise God, is what the Lord desires to display with all nations. Amen. Romans 10:12 talks about the Lord being over all, Lord over all. And because he is Lord over all, he is rich unto all. Amen. All that call upon him. Thank God his name is called in the waters of baptism. And we know how powerful the Lord is because of his abundance. I am come that they might have life, and that more abundantly. Now, he's not the only one that comes. The devil comes to everyone as well. The devil makes sure that all have a visitation by him again and again, because he wants to steal and to kill and to destroy. And the devil is faithful in that task. He is definitely zeroed in on his mission. He wants to kill, to steal, and destroy. But the Lord comes, hallelujah, and his abundance is there. And it's life more abundant. Praise God. And it's for everybody. So now as we stand. No doubt. No, we push those doubts aside. We know it's for everybody. That wild looking character riding on his motorcycle. No doubt. He can have it too. Amen. A busy executive in the bank. She can have it too. Amen. The people in the hospital, in the post office, in the grocery store, at the gas station, in the restaurant, every one of them, no doubt, can have the same experience you have. Praise God. Oh, Lord, help us to get rid of those doubts. Amen. They don't want to listen to me. Oh, they won't have time. Oh, they won't want a Bible study. Get rid of the doubts. Praise God. The Lord's all nations is the focus that he wants us to have so that we can do the work of the Lord and see the kingdom increase. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. It's his kingdom. Praise God. It's his power. Amen. Amen. Now, I haven't told you anything new. You've heard this so many times. There are people who have never heard it. That's what my heart is crying for. There are people who have never felt the presence of God move in a Pentecostal service. They don't know there's a God who heals. They don't know there's a God who forgives. Oh, maybe they've heard it. Maybe they've had a token message that they've been exposed to. But the living reality of it, they don't have a clue. And oh, God, help us, help us, help us, Lord, that all nations. You know, and it begins with our families. It begins with our neighborhood. We support missionaries across the water. And we give. God bless you for giving and supporting those 20 missionaries or so that we support. But let's make sure we go across the street. Go across the street to invite somebody. We don't have to go across the water. Go across the street. Go across town. Bring somebody to the house of the Lord. We've got tremendous things on the calendar and we're looking forward to. And I'll rejoice with you, and I'll try to jump up and down with you and all of that stuff in the presence of the Lord. But oh, how much better if we see somebody baptized right here. Somebody receive the Holy Ghost right here. Praise God. Because God can do it. God wants to do it. That's why he said, go ye. Teach them. Teach them again. Praise God. Because it would be met with refusal and objection and disobedience. No, no, no. Because he knows there's a people who will respond. He knows there will be those who will say yes. We've just got to find them. Praise God. And see the work of the Lord done. Let's come and pray here for a bit. Praise God. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. What a beautiful truth. A powerful truth that the Lord made known to us. Praise God. And how wonderful that there are those who have grown up in this message. Sister Kim, you've known no other message. This is it. Grandparents, parents, this is it. The Villas, same thing, growing up with this powerful message. Amen. Our little grandkids, thank God. And there are others that the Lord wants to include. Others that the Lord wants to bring in. All nations. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Now, here's what we'll do. We'll just go ahead and give him thanks because he included me. He included you. Over 7 billion people on this planet. And he chose you. Amazing. Amazing. I don't know what the probability, what the statistics would be of you among 7.2 billion being the one chosen. I don't know what the percentages would be. They're just numbers astronomical. But he did. He chose us. Called us. Ah, incredible. And I want to give him thanks right now. Thank you, Lord. Shantemeha Solo.